Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Support for the Adam Carolla Show comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. With rising interest rates, there's a lot of unpredictability, a lot of anxiety out there. Our friends at Quicken Loans are doing something about that. The power buying process. They'll verify your income, assets, credit in under 24 hours and give you a verified approval. Then you have the strength of cash buyer, which is important when you're out there in the real world. Once verified, you qualify for the all-new exclusive Rate Shield approval. They'll lock in your rate up to 90 days while you shop. If rates go up, your rate stays the same. But if rates go down, your rate drops. You can't lose, man. Either way, you're going to win. Get started today. Go to rocketmortgage.com/Adam. That's rocketmortgage.com/Adam. Dawson.
Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year purchase transactions. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply based on Quicken Loans data in comparison to public data records. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Dean Cain. With Gina Grad on news, Walt Bryant on sound effects, and the sports with Chet Waterhouse. And now, a man who loves cars but hates carbs, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. Share this pod. It's free with a loved one. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
Handball, Brian.
Dude, what's up with your mic, Ace, man? Sounds terrible.
Let's see. Chet Waterhouse in the studio.
Yeah,
always great
brother.
To see Jeff Cesario here. Dean Cain. I love Dean Cain. He'll be in shortly. We'll talk to him about some of his projects and tell you a story about playing a little celebrity baseball with the great Dean Cain, quite an athlete back in his day. I want to thank Quicken Loans at rocketmortgage.com/Adam and LifeLock, lifelock.com. Enter Adam Castrol Challenge. Tweet us your car questions at Adam Carolla Show, hashtag Castrol Challenge. And MedMen. Go to MedMen. Let them know I send you. I was at my barber. Salon, stylist, I don't know. I get
humble brag.
I get a new lady every time.
Oh, boy. You're wearing a hat, so this can't end well.
I go, my deal is wherever I can walk, that's who gets to cut my hair. Huh. If they got to be within striking distance.
Yeah. Walking and, distance is important.
I walk over there, and I bring Phil, and I tie him up outside, and he just flops out there by the sidewalk, and then I go in.
Old school, tying up the dog outside the business, because I feel like it's
outside the barbershop.
Well, especially, it's decreased 99.8% since I was
too.
A child.
Now the dog gets to sit on your lap while you get your haircut.
You both get
now,
a haircut.
Or I'll sue your ass. But I'm old school. I tie the dog up outside because not everyone wants a dog where they get their haircut.
And no one's going to dog nap him because they can't drag him.
He's too big.
Yeah.
Too big.
He'll get him so far.
And so I tie him up. And now, you know, my beef is the music. It's all the Britney Spears and all the teeny bopper shit that is pumped into every establishment. It could be a steakhouse. I've been to a Detroit sports bar where they're pumping in all that teeny bopper shit. And the barbershop, again, I live in a pretty old, sleepy community. And if I'm not there alone, there's another guy, average age 63 and a half, and they pump it in. So
the guy's name Pops and Tex.
Pops and Tex and Captain.
And Rusty.
And Champ.
Boss.
Butch. And Boss. And so
Dutch.
I get them in Dutch. And so I always ask them, like, what's going on with the teeny bopper music? There's no young people here. Just put it on jazz or put it on classical or something. And first things first, they're always a little surprised. Like, yeah, I don't know what's going on either, which is because the place,
there's music playing?
The place is 200 square foot and you stand in it all day. Why is it that you have no thoughts? The music is one of those It's like when people used to call Loveline and the smoke detector would be beeping in the background. And I'd go, now it would chirp either between every 28 seconds, like between every 28 and 33 seconds, a loud audible chirp would go off.
Yeah.
And every time I would speak to a person, the conversation would go something like this. So you'd hear the, I don't know, do you have one,
Brian? I don't have a chirp, unfortunately.
I can't believe with all the hot smoke detector talk I've always done over the years. You don't have a chirp.
I can make it work.
All right, make it work. So it just, it'd be like, oh, my boyfriend, he's super jealous, and he thinks he owns me, but he doesn't own me. And then I'd go, "What was that? Was that the smoke detector?" And they go, "What?" Huh? And I go, "Is that a smoke detector?" And they go, "No." And then I'd go, and then they go, "Well, anyway, my boyfriend is super jealous, but he travels." And I'd stop. I gotta go, "Wait a minute, I heard a chirp." And they'd go, "I'm in the living room." And I'd go, "Yeah, well, wait a minute. I heard it like in the distance. Can you go to your bedroom?" And they'd go, "Oh, okay. Anyway, he travels a lot and he plays like a junior hockey." And I'd stop and I'd go, "Wait a minute. That was it. Okay, what is that?" And then at some point they'd go,
"A little louder."
"Oh, that?" And I'd go, "Yes, that." And they'd go, "That's a smoke detector." And I'd go, "Yeah, yeah, remember? Yeah,
we know.
I've been asking about that for a while now." And they go, "Oh, yeah, that's what it does." And I go, "How long has it been doing that?" And they'd go, "Oh, well, since I moved into the apartment." And I'd go, like, "How long's it been?" They'd go, like, "Oh, it was 9 months." And I'd go, "Wait a minute, that's been going on the entire time you're in the apartment?" Brian, in order to be consistent, thank you. Well, no, just once every...
It's doubling up.
Oh, sorry. Every 30, if you can get it. And they go, "Yeah." And I go, "Is it like out on the mud porch or something?" They go, "No, it's in the bedroom where they sleep." Sure. That's how most people are. And yeah. Then I go, "How do you sleep with that?" And they go, "I don't know. I guess I just kind of tune it out." And I'm like, I realize, oh boy, do we have the ability to just tune everything in the world out.
And do you ever say to them, "You know, you can end that by putting in a newer battery."
Yeah, we'd like
you
to invite you to do something.
One
about
mop
it.
Handle away from freedom. Yep. And possible carbon monoxide poisoning. So I go and I sit down, and when I sit down, I hear the Britney Spears and J-Lo pumped in, and I every time I go, what's going on? I'll play you.
Britney Spears and J-Lo. It's the oldie station.
It's the oldie station. Yeah,
the
sorry.
Classic pop.
I know.
The Katy Perry, just the Rihanna.
Rihanna. I'll play a recording, and then we can hear the song. Do you want to hear the recording? I usually fire up my phone.
Now, see, last time I was in here, I said you guys should play some oldies or some jazz or some classical music.
But I think classic music, good. You know, you can listen all the time.
Yeah, that's what I'm
She's
saying.
She's German.
Why are we listening to this music?
Nobody has any thoughts. Now, she didn't speak good English, but the other chick did. And I always go, why are we... Yeah. What's the song? Do we have the song? Brian has the song.
That's a hot track.
I was waiting for the clip to end.
Yeah, I get it.
We're getting your trim.
What song is this, Maxipata?
This is called Music Sounds Better With You by Stardust.
It's ironic.
Music Sounds Better With You Cutting My Hair. It's actually the title of the song. Your That's clippers. Why they play it.
Could anybody make this song if they knew their way around a computer?
Probably make it on your phone.
Feels like it's pre-programmed for a lot of things.
Yeah, it's just a big loop. Like those guitar stabs are like when I was listening to this clip they recorded, it really just pierced you every single time.
Is this song a hit?
It was released in '98.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I was going to say, this feels like Paul Oakenfold era, like the voice slip.
Yes.
And you, you wonder 62 why in the Hot 100.
You wonder why people can tune out smoke alarms.
I guess.
This is the A.
Later on, she told me she was going to make me handsome. I think we have a clip of that somewhere. I didn't believe her.
Something make you handsome, I do, okay?
You make me handsome.
I do.
Okay.
Hear the guitar
sound. Well, you're going to, you know, if you can make me handsome, I'm going to give you a tip.
Oh, yeah! ขอบคุณค่ะ
But only if you make me handsome.
Are you sure you're not
sure? Sure.
And I am not going to take your word for it. I got to go test it. I'm going to go to Gelson's and I'm going to see what the ladies think.
Okay, okay.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go by the deli court and I'm just going to hang out there.
Okay, okay.
And I'm going to see if anyone comes up to me and says anything.
I guarantee.
You guarantee it, huh?
Then you tell me, oh, not good haircut. But I'm not there for you, okay?
I'm not going to bring the dog cuz that's too easy. The girls love Phil. So I'm just going to leave the dog outside. I'm going to wait by the deli counter. And if someone comes up and says I'm handsome, male or female.
You cross line. You cross line.
Come on, it's 2018. Right. If that happens inside of 45 minutes, and I'm going to come back and give you a big fat tip. But I don't give any compliments. Okay.
Is that the song still playing? Jesus, who enjoys that? It's so repetitive. Why? Yeah. It's insanely repetitive. Hey, by the way, I go to a million car events a year and stuff like that. Whenever there's a cocktail party or something, that's always way too loud. And I'm screaming at Tim Allen, congratulations on the new ratings. And he's like, I can't hear you. And neither can the other 60-year-old white dudes that are there. Why? Why? Yes. Yep. Why? Why? In, why that?
And in direct competition with the fluorescent hum, and I'm prefering the fluorescent hum.
I think that was her clippers. There were clippers that were going
pretty
at consistent.
Yeah, pretty sure it was the hum.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's fluorescent.
I did
hum.
Enjoy her default noise though.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh. Did we talk about Thai food? Man, we talk about Thai food.
She just calls it food.
She just calls it food, but man, she makes it up. She brings it in.
Oh, damn.
Oh, yeah. Fried rice is what she brought, but she threw the kitchen sink into it. I start getting it like, where's that food? And she was like in her break room. And, you know, I don't know. I felt like it was kind of crossing a line, but I wanted to taste some of it. So I love it. I love, there's two things. I'm in love with these women because A, they're at work. And B, they're cooking when they're not at work. They're either working or cooking, and I love it.
And sometimes the two cross over in the break room.
Yeah. She brings in Thai food all the time. Started trying to ask her about good Thai food places to eat. Couldn't get any real answers.
Her kitchen.
Her kitchen. Yeah. Her apartment. Yeah.
We have some of this, too, if you want to hear a different song in the background.
Oh. What song's in the background?
This one's called, I'm pulling this up, this one's called Gotta Get Through This by Daniel Bedingfield.
Wow, that's
Ophelia.
Par for the course.
You bring tamales, no?
Oh, you bring tamales?
Yeah, she brings tamales.
You bring Thai tamales?
Oh, yeah, I call it Thai sauce.
What the hell song is this? What year did this come out?
Like
Max Pay, you gotta do your homework on this
fried
song.
Fried rice, is that, that's the whole meal?
2001.
Fried rice, you put chicken in it, or?
I put, okay, everything inside my, I have leftover for visitors. Chicken or something, I take them, come to food. I don't mean about, today, chicken today, pork today, chim, no. I have something leftover, I take.
Put it in the fried rice.
I feel
you. I'm starting to drool for this fried rice. All right, so we're hearing a bunch of stupid techno music and talking about fried rice. $17. Let me tell you something. You get to be a hero when your haircuts are $17.
Sure.
You flip them a 20. I just flipped her $40 because still getting out of there for practice. You know, still quite a bit under the bar that most adult guys in my tax bracket pay for
That's
a haircut.
Right.
So I gave her $40. And then I went to the deli counter over at Gelson's and I just waited.
Took the haircut for a spin.
Took it out for a spin. All right.
Those clips sound like an episode of The Shield right before the cops break in. That's what happens in all of those.
Yeah.
You like Tyvon? And the door breaks down. Get the guy with a bad haircut. Put him in cuffs.
I love, I do, I'm kind of in love with the people who have that sort of on again, off again relationship with the English language, but are enjoying the hell out of it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And still talking a mile a minute as if you're like, you only understand every third word, but you're still putting together this sort of collage and this composite of an idea.
Yeah,
and
that's true.
She was able to express everything to me that she needed. I knew by every third or fourth word, I knew everything she was saying.
Audio jigsaw puzzle.
Miyama or something, you know, K, something Miyama or something. Yeah,
just like that.
K, Miyama. Eventually I have to always ask the other poor soul who's in there with me, how old are you? Because why are we listening to this music? And then the guy doesn't want to get involved, has to get involved.
Sure, no.
And also, as I've stated before, they're allowed to yell, I know who you are, and but never really know where. Okay. You know what I mean? They'll go, oh, it's you. It's you. You're the guy from the thing. You know, but they'll never say The Man Show or Loveline or Crank Anchor.
Tell you their favorite episode.
Never specifically anything other than the point.
Right. The Barry screwed your mom. That was great.
And then they're also deputized to yell at other people. Like if someone else walks in, they'll go, you know this guy?
Who is he? You know who this is?
And the poor guy's like, I sort of know, and he doesn't know either, but he just got sucked into this thing.
Sure.
How do you feel about that, being on the receiving end?
What is, can we talk about this? This happened to me at a wedding over the weekend, an Emmy's wedding. A guy who I had met one time 3 years earlier did the, when I walk into the party, he did the bum rush. You remember me? You remember me? You remember me? It's like, it's
the worst.
I blame the wife. I always blame the wife because the wife needs to go, hey, stop doing that. Right. Don't do it to people who walk into a party. You remember me? You remember me? One time we had met several years earlier.
In passing.
And I had to like composite this weird thing together with the person. I would argue that Remember Me guy has to be put on a shelf next to the person who yells at the next random person they see, do you know this guy?
Right.
And then point at me or whoever it is. You're not allowed to do that anymore.
Yeah. Plus, the wedding is an out-of-context place. Like, you're used to seeing someone in the office or at the ball game or wherever, but now they're in a suit. They're doing, you know, they're talks, God forbid. Like, this is not the environment you're used to seeing them.
Yes. And there is no prize. Like it took me a minute and I went, yeah, last time we talked about ski-doos and sea-doos and jet skis, right? He's like, yep. And then he like pointed at his son. How about Mikey Jr.? And I went, you work for Honda, right? And he went, yes, I do. And then he went, and what do I do for a living? And I said, you drive a truck or have a fleet of trucks. And he went, wrong, I'm retired. I used to drive trucks.
Jesus,
and I
Christ.
Thought, how about a little something for pulling all this out of my ass
retired.
From the last time we talked for 10 minutes when I was drunk 3 years ago.
Wow.
But again, the bum rush Remember Me person, it's weird. I don't know. Who teaches people? Is that ever taught like in
instinct.
Any etiquette class
it's
or something?
It's a human moth instinct. Yeah. They just go to the light, burned, go back to their wife.
They want their pound of flesh a little bit.
I don't look at it as a naivete. There's like something behind it and I don't like
bravado.
It. And if you think about all the people you know who you really like, you will hear them introduce themselves multiple times to the same people they've met over the years because they never want to put that person in the position where they're like, who, you know?
Yes.
Right.
And I'm more likely to tell everyone else in the room I know that guy than go up to the guy and say hello.
Remember me?
Oh, it's Adam. It's Adam. Don't bother. It's Adam.
I can't believe you remembered anything about the guy.
Well, I like jet skis.
Well,
he likes fleets.
The kid worked for Honda. It's another thing. You know, anything internal combustion. He drove a truck. You know, it was kind of in my wheelhouse.
Yeah,
like if the
literally.
Kid worked with special needs kids, I'd be like, I've never seen him before in my life. But he worked at
register.
Honda.
Yeah.
There was car centric information.
Yeah. Sweet spot.
And his kid was a junior, which sort of helped piece things together. But here's the whole deal too. When you walk into a new environment, like a wedding, there should be some sort of cool down period where no one's people can't meet you at the threshold and start asking you questions.
You get
to go to the bar, sit down at your table, and then at some point mosey on over and let's have a discussion. The hit at the door is always bad because you have no context. You can't do that lay of the land move you do where you sit down with your wife and go, who's that? What's his wife's name at table eight? And they fill you in on all. You can't. There's no filling in. There's no anything. It's just you at the door.
So the bar should be like the decompression chamber on a spaceship. You're coming in from the spacewalk.
That's right.
You get 10 minutes there before the other double lock opens and you go into the spaceship.
I'm going to throw you one more guy from the wedding.
Oh, boy.
I need to shake your hand as almost a period at the end of every sentence I give you. Like, man, this is a great party, right? And then they shake it, grab their hand, they start shaking it, and then they go, I loved you on that contractor show, and now we're going in again.
Wow. That must be a guy thing. I'm not familiar with that.
Oh, there are guys out there that will do a ton of hand. I was on the dance floor, and this guy was shaking my hand the entire time.
Oh,
and then later on, I was like out in the patio for a quiet moment, and he came back out for more handshaking. And I was like, we've shook hands 28 times. You know, he's like, oh, now there's some problem with the handshaking. And then he shook my hand again. Chris, did you run into a handshaking guy?
No, I didn't, but I wish I would have seen him shaking your hand. That's funny.
He was sitting with a fist bump guy.
Yeah.
Different generation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I appreciate the enthusiasm. Don't get me wrong, but
too interactive.
We don't have to keep, especially when people are walking around with trays with shrimp and you're grabbing it with your hand.
Yeah.
You probably could keep it to single digits in the handshaking department same person.
It's as intimate as male to male contact can get for a lot of guys.
It is.
That's as intimate as it gets.
Yeah.
It's a very telling thing.
Mm-hmm. And he was doing the double handshake, like both hands over
the car salesman handshake.
Did a lot of that.
He grasped it.
Running
for Senate.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
I could have used the cool down thing upon entering Drew's party a couple of weeks ago.
Yes.
It was overwhelming. Sorry, I bum-rushed
you. No, that's okay. What was weird is like, you know, once you get into the party like that and there's, you know, 50 people already there or whatever it is, maybe more, you're looking around, you look at your bearings. I introduced myself to Catherine Wood's wife, who I've met a half dozen times.
Right.
You know what I mean? I did my bearings. Right. Like, who is this person? I'm like, oh, I met her.
Bianca.
A bunch of times.
Yeah, there should be that.
Like an idiot. I was like, hi, I'm Brian. It's like, okay, hi, how are you?
Also, speaking of guys I can't tolerate, also ran into, speaking of handshaking and guys I can't tolerate, the guys who just have their own take on a handshake, like I turn it sideways and hang on to it for me. Like I'm gonna impose my shit. I'm gonna put my flavor on this thing. You know what I mean? This is not going to be a forgettable handshake for you. I'm going to do this move where I grab your hand, I turn it 90 degrees to the right, and I hold it for a little bit longer than what's comfortable, and I'll pull it toward me a little.
Oh.
Like that. It's the same guy who does this. This guy. It's always this guy where they go, watch, I'll do it to you, Gina. How you doing?
Hi, good. How are you?
How are you doing? Seriously.
I think I'm good.
You can tell me.
Hey,
how you doing?
You know what?
You know, like, I'm not just fine guy. I'm a lot more than that.
Deeper, yeah.
I'm hanging on to your hand and I'm asking, hey, how you doing?
I don't like that.
That dude.
As long as we're getting all the guys' handshakes online, the guy who does this, like, Adam, hey, how you doing? He goes in like this for a big swing handshake. Are you know if he's going in for the hearty handshake?
Right.
Or he's going in for the, you know what I mean, the bro.
The grasp.
Yeah, the over-the-top bro grasp.
Yeah, I feel like there's way too many.
I just hug everybody.
The guy starts it up here like a pitcher's motion. You know what I mean? You don't know if he's going in for like the sweet, sweet handshake down low or if he's going for that.
And if it's a super hip dude, you might be on a whole thing that you don't know how to do.
Well, also had a guy who I hadn't seen in many months at the same wedding where I got caught with the put her there and he did the bring it in.
Oh,
nothing worse. That's like you're attempting to kiss the chick and she gives you the cheek.
Yeah.
You know, like a weird, like I'm saying, like, how you doing? He's like, get in here. Bro, and I'm like, I feel stupid. Like I feel prude and homophobic and weird, you know. Now I also feel like we've been living two different relationships. He thinks we're super tight and it's, we should be hugging it out. I'm like, how you doing?
Actually,
like,
just acquaintances.
I act like I sold him an RV. Like, how you doing? Very good. Enjoy many miles of happiness.
I like the twist and turn one.
That guy.
Because that's like, you may be Adam Carolla, but you're talking to Barney Obelisky here, pal.
Yeah. Pull it in.
What you do, Adam, is you always just have a drink in your hand and just cheers everybody. And
you're right.
That's good.
Yeah, you have to really respect the up nod, the slight thing, the slight up nod. Mm-hmm. That's money. Guys should just do that. Just you don't even have to talk. You just see a guy, see his eyes. You go, I know you're from somewhere. Good enough.
Good enough.
Done.
Yeah.
Done. End it.
All right. Let me tell you about LifeLock, and we'll get into Chet Waterhouse here for a second. You've probably heard by now that hackers exploited a security vulnerability at Facebook, potentially exposing personal information for nearly 50 million accounts. With your personal info, criminals can open your accounts, file tax returns, and buy property. They can just screw up your credit, and you can't unring that bell. There's so many threats in today's connected world. It just takes one weak link for criminals to get in, and once they get in, I told you, criminals are lazy. You think they're bad. They're just lazy. They don't want to go to work. They don't want jobs. They don't want to deal with that, so they'll steal all your stuff in a cyber way. New LifeLock Identity Theft Protection adds the power of Norton Security to help protect against threats to your identity and devices you can't easily see or fix on your own. It's the best. It's LifeLock, right, Dawson?
No one can stop every cyber threat, prevent all identity theft, or monitor transactions at all businesses. But new LifeLock with Norton Security can see threats you might miss on your own. Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LifeLock and use promo code Adam for an extra 10% off your first year, plus a $25 Amazon gift card with annual enrollment. That's promo code Adam. Terms apply.
All right. Dean Cain is going to come in here in a couple of few. I'll be happy to see him. Now, I was watching his movie, Gosnell, and I was, I heard about the case, but I thought, I don't think many people have heard about the case that the movie is based on. And then I started thinking about, I feel like I hear everything all day, every day, but I didn't hear anything about this Gosnell case. I think his first name was Kermit, right?
Kermit Gosnell.
But I thought I'd have fun with Chet Waterhouse.
Sure.
You can do it in the Chet voice, but be truthful.
Absolutely.
Be Jeff Cesario. Have you heard the name Kermit Gosnell?
Mountain climber.
No.
Yeah, you got it.
Championship mountain climber. Led the German team up the south face of Kilimanjaro.
All right, so you've not heard that name.
I've not heard Kermit Gosnell.
All right.
I like the name, though. Fun to say.
Have you heard of Cecil the Lion?
Off the edge, he's spinning. The sack, Kermit Gosnell.
Jeff, have you heard Cecil the Lion?
No. Cecil the Lion? No.
Cecil the Lion.
Cecil. No, I've not heard Cecil.
Have you heard of Rachel Dolezal?
Oh, yeah, the white chick who is black, and now she's in a singing group because she can cover two parts.
Casey Anthony?
Oh, yeah, a lot of trouble. Big trouble there. She's going deep.
Dr. Conrad Murray?
Oh, yeah, he was with the team doctor here for a long time. The results, they went 11-3 4 years in a row. Then they got rid of him when they went 6-9. Yeah, trouble. He had some good juice.
Jeff, have you heard of Dr. Conrad Murray?
Yes.
Okay. You guys know Cecil Lion, only because I yelled
out.
How about Harambe?
Harambe, sure. The big kid from Africa played for the Houston Rockets for about a decade or two.
It was a Kevin Bacon movie where he went to go
Arab
recruit
there.
Yeah, that you guys know Harambe.
Yes, of course.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you know Harambe?
I don't.
Poor Harambe.
Although, a better life than I had so far, which is he's the gorilla that learned sign language.
Oh.
And passed.
No, that's Coco. That's Coco.
Oh, that's Coco.
Harambe was the one that kid fell in, and he treated him like a rag doll.
Oh, another gorilla.
Yeah, a lot of gorillas.
Sorry. Confused my
not
gorillas.
All gorillas are the same.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. That was very...
Not all one-named
very
gorillas
insensitive.
The
well, the kid did fall.
Oh, Harambe was the name of that gorilla.
Yeah, and then they put him down.
Oh, it was good to the kid.
Well,
life wasn't good
way.
To him.
Yeah. His point of view.
All right, and Stormy Daniels, you know?
Yeah, everybody knows Stormy Daniels. I know her well.
But not Kermit Gosnell.
Bay Bicycle Club. That's where I met Stormy Daniels.
It's an interesting case on a guy who was an abortion doctor. It was really quite a monster, but it just didn't work with the narrative. And so the news really just kind of stayed away from the Gosnell case. But that's all right. We got Dean Cain. He's telling the story, and we'll tell you all about it in a minute. But can we hear a little Chet Waterhouse?
Sure.
You have an episode for us?
Yeah, I got the pipes all warmed up.
The Sports with Chet Waterhouse.
How are you, everybody? Chet Waterhouse with the Waterhouse Update, brought to you by Gazoon Tights, the leotards that help cut your sneezing in half. Mixed Martial Arts Vegas, Khabib Nurmagomedopoulos beat Conor McGregor when he got fed up with all those silly rules and just choked him to death in the fourth round. Khabib then climbed the fence and went after a wise guy in the crowd and then went in the casino's comedy club and choked out Jeffrey Ross. Worst brawl since they ran out of batter at an Atlanta Waffle House in 2009. McGregor looked to be in about as good a shape as my mail carrier. Conor said he'd be back at him. Actually, he couldn't speak yet, so he wrote it on a whiteboard using blood from his own nose. Them fighting words brought to you by Pyrotherapy. Down in the dumps, burn something fun at Pyrotherapy. NFL! Chiefs pound the Jags like a blacksmith on a Cialis bender. Detroit puts the Packers into Khabib Nurmagomedov chokehold. Denver falling faster than a fat rock climber. The Jets, like Mormons at a strip club for the first time, they are frisky. College football, Northwestern snuck by Michigan State like Susan Collins driving back into Maine. Name of the week, Wisconsin freshman defensive back Rashad Wild Goose. When an opponent gets loose, Rashad's coach just shouts, "Wild Goose, chase!" That football wrap-up brought to you by Porn on the Cob, Iowa's number one adult store. America's pastime. Now not eating an entire package of bacon and then claiming you're on Vinny Tortorici's paleo diet. Baseball. Brewers dump the Rockies faster than the Kardashians go through cosmetic surgeons. Incidentally, the Kardashians have the only cosmetic surgeon with a torn rotator cuff. Boston beat the Yanks 16-1, said Conor McGregor. Now that's an ass whooping. And finally, this week in sports history, the year 1928, the city, New York, the Eastern Soccer League forms, and a mere 90 years later, soccer is already the ninth most popular sport in America. That item brought to you by Pinocchio's, Nevada's only all-puppet brothel. If you want more of me this weekend, guys, ooh, this is exciting, I just signed the deal. Saturday, I'll be at Sea Legs in Bolsa Chica State Beach calling the first annual World Championship of Guacamole. That's where Gina broke her foot. This is Chet Waterhouse reminding you to play with pain.
Chet Waterhouse Sports.
Wow.
God, I hope Chet's there to call that guacamole championship.
We're going to be tasting we're going to have a little guac off.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Here tomorrow. I think Christy is going to cook up some.
Blind taste test, too.
Blind taste test. I shouldn't say cook up, but whip up some. Who else is participating, Max Pata?
Gina will be in it. Mm. And our in-house Mexican guy, Gabe.
Gabe.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Gabe better not come in third.
He is very confident.
Gabe's Mexican?
Oh. I knew there's something I didn't like about him.
Off.
Oh. Okay. He's too tall for a Mexican.
Yes. Way too tall. Way
yeah.
too tall.
Oh, yeah. Mm. No, there's some Mayan Inca something going on there. That's a different thing.
He's the sun god.
Yeah. He's Ra. He's Ra.
That was awesome, by the way. And
thank you
for that. You should get a plug, everyone. Go see Jeff Cesario. Well, by the way, the podcast Play With Pain, Wednesdays on Podcast One and Apple Podcasts. And you can also see him do stand-up shows out there with Brian Regan and coming his stand-up special or stand-up. Well, it's a TV show with
Regan,
right?
It's a sketch show called Stand Up and Away with Brian Regan.
Right.
It's on Netflix. It's dropping on Christmas.
So nice. Watch that because Jeff's working on that as well. You have a Casserole Edge question for me.
Oh, yeah.
You can tweet us at Adam Carolla Show with hashtag Casserole Challenge with your questions for Casserole Challenge, brought to you by Casserole Edge, formulated with fluid titanium technology. reduces friction, maximizes engine performance. Three times.
Three times, fool.
Stronger against viscosity breakdown than leading full synthetic oil. You got a question? Go ahead, Max.
Yeah, Patterson. This comes from Low Rent High Rise on Instagram. Wants to know hashtag casual challenge. Jeeps, worth it?
Wow.
It's you a nuanced got to question.
Admire the conciseness.
Yeah, sweet and simple.
I've never been a Jeep guy. I wonder about them. I always, whenever I see a Jeep and a guy driving around a Jeep, I have the same thought, which I do about people with like Yakima racks and stuff on their car. I go, what do they know that I don't know? What are they doing? Are they filming a Michelob Ultra commercial? Like, I look at them the same way I look at the Michelob Ultra things where the good looking people are out on the trail and they're running and now they're, it's kind of platonic, drinking. But now they're drinking. Yeah. It's 9:45 in the morning. They're drinking. You know, they hit the trail at 6 a.m. They did the run, and now they
need to replenish.
They're drinking. The chicks are hot. The guys are good looking, but they've never really hooked it up.
Yeah, no.
That tension.
So, like, the Jeep, and I think people like the idea of a Jeep. Like, you know how I'm in love with the notion of being in love, but not actually being in love?
Sure.
I think they feel that way about their Jeeps. I feel like, oh, this is going to be a lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And I'm also kind of a little confused when I see the stamp on the side of the Jeep. It says trail rated. I don't know who did the rating and who did the certification. And did each and every one of them, like, leave the factory in Flint and go over a sand dune? Yeah. And then they put the badge on it? Or do you get trail rated while you're still in Michigan?
How many Jeep owners are getting their Jeeps worth? You know what I'm saying? Like, taking it on the trail.
Ooh, I like it. Get your Jeeps worth.
Ooh. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
I don't know. I also found out in the 80s and 90s that it was the weapon of choice for strippers.
Huh.
What?
Chicks drove Jeeps. It's weird with Jeeps. There's like two folks that drive Jeeps. There's the Jeep guys who like want to go camping and hunting and off-roading. And then there's the chicks who just like the idea of it's cute and it's whatever.
Yeah, chick behind a Jeep. Yeah, it's kind of a
yeah. If you go to you go to strip clubs, you'll see a lot of Jeeps in the employee parking lot. And just a little notion as far as any of the ladies who are listening who may be in that business. If in fact you do have a young child, take the car seat out, leave it in the garage or the carport before you pull in to Olympic Gardens, because it bums me out when I see the car seat in the back.
Yeah. It really kills
especially when it's facing the wrong way. You know, it really bums me out.
Yeah. Probably shouldn't be in a Jeep either.
Yeah, it's a good point. Yeah.
Overall, a good point.
I don't think the kid was planned.
Right.
And so I think they had the Jeep first. They didn't have a kid and then go get a Jeep, but I get it.
And I say family Jeep.
That's the Jeep lifestyle.
Yeah. But it's trail rated. I don't stand by the Jeep. I don't stand by it. I believe they have the worst door handles ever made.
Yeah.
And the other one, the taillights, the one that looks like a drunk guy died.
Yeah.
There's just two X's. Yeah. There's that one. Somebody, by the way, somebody has to. Well, you draw a cartoon of a dead drunk guy.
Yeah, like that's how we know he's dead and drunk.
Like the bandits in a Christmas story. Yeah. You know, when he starts shooting at the bandits.
Yeah, you know how they have those like truck nuts?
Yep.
Should they hang the nutsack off the differential? Nuts, anyone who drives that Jeep Excursion or Explorer, the Jeep, whatever the one with the cross. Someone needs to have a little bumper tongue, that tongue that hangs out. Like, I passed
pennies
out.
On the eyes. Right.
Yeah.
It should be truck nut rated.
That's
as opposed to trail rated.
That's right. All right. Do
truck
you have
nut
that?
Rated.
Yeah, there it is. It's the Jeep what? I don't want the X.
Renegade.
The Renegade. The X's for the taillights bump me, and the handles are the worst door handles I've ever seen in life. They're like one of those. It's made out of that material, that super porous plastic, so that if you were waxing your Jeep and you sneezed and brushed that black handle with some of the paste wax, it would have a weird white mark on it.
Forever.
That thing could go off a bridge and be at the bottom of Lake Huron for 30 years, and you pulled it out. The only thing left would be that handle with the weird smudge of turtle wax on it that would be white that you couldn't get out.
This portion of the broadcast brought to you by Chrysler. Oh, no, wait a second. It's not.
So, no, I'm not a fan of trail rated or Jeeps, but I am a fan of Castrol Edge. And if you got a Jeep, be good to it. Put some of that Castrol Edge in there. It's great performance. It's 100% synthetic. All right. Let's see. Dean Cain is out there. We got a special in between the break and Dean Cain, an extended dance breakdown of the Kavanaugh hearing and Dr. Ford and all that. I got into it with Drew. I thought, you know what? Me and Drew did Loveline for 10 years. Let's see if we can break this thing down. We've heard a lot of these stories over the years. So we'll play you that. We'll come back with the Dean Cain, and we will say adios to Jeff Cesaro. Thanks, my friend.
Hey, my pleasure.
Hey, ghouls and gals, if you're in Vegas for Halloween weekend, then be sure to join us for costume karaoke at the Other Room in Caesar's Palace. Hang with Lynette Carolla and AJ Benza for a meet and greet from 7:30 to 9 October 27th. Then get ready for a karaoke contest fueled by a haunting amount of mangria and endless rant, judged by AJ and Lynette. So join Carolla Drinks, AJ Benza, and Lynette Carolla for costume karaoke Saturday, October 27th at the Other Room in Caesar's Palace. More info at adamcarolla.com. No ticket necessary. Just show up and drink. Adam and Drew, back together again.
Hey, man.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, man. Why should people listen to us every single day, Drew?
Because they complain that we're not around anymore, and where are you once you guys come back? And lo and behold, we've been back the whole time. They need to listen to us every day.
And I think the world needs a nice dose of us.
Yes. It's that time.
Every day.
Yep. Every day.
Podcast One and
Apple. It's healthy. It's healthy. It'll improve your soul.
Thank you.
Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew Pinsky, getting it on 5 days a week. The Adam and Drew Show, weekdays on Carolla Digital and Podcast One.
Okay, so as discussed, a special Adam and Dr. Drew Show,
yeah,
where we get into the nuts and bolts of the whole Kavanaugh thing and Dr. Ford and beyond. I've been waiting get into it with you because I feel like you're uniquely qualified to discuss this subject, and I feel like I'm uniquely qualified to discuss the subject as well.
Because we probably talked to Dr. Ford on Loveline 30 years ago.
Probably, or at least of her ilk.
You're right.
So, and I think my interpretation of the situation and the evaluation of the, no. My take on it is a little bit different than many people's take.
Tell us what condition her condition is in.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes, Kenny Rogers song. Because I talked to Geragos about it as well, and Geragos disagreed with some of the stuff I was saying.
Oh, I was curious about that. Yeah. Can you want to start with that maybe, and we can sort of you and I straighten that out a little bit?
Well, I am not really bound by God or the law. I'm just sort of bound by common sense, decency, or what I would do or what I would blame people for doing or not doing, you right. know. So
yeah. Let me for ACS listeners that maybe aren't Adam and Drew listeners, and I've articulated this about you on our show, which is that Adam has this like internal moral compass. It's a scale of justice. And it's yes. like it's down to the micrograms. It's a perfect scale. And it operates outside of all other considerations. It's just a scale of justice. It's not interfered with by – I mean some contextual things may come to bear on it, but it doesn't get interfered with.
Yes.
So it's just you'll just know the score. You'll
if somebody said he purged himself or perjuried himself or perjured himself by lying, I would say, well, what did they ask him? Well, they accused him of this, that, and the other. And I'd go, oh, well, if you're going to lie, if someone's going to lie about something they did in high school, then they can lie about it.
In other words, lying without justification is wrong, but you have a sense of what justification is okay.
Yeah, my sort of 10,000-foot view of the whole thing was that she did – something happened to Dr. Ford. A lot of it was the specifics, wearing my bathing suit under my clothes. I was wearing a one-piece bathing suit that I was using for diving under my clothes. That's not something you ever hear or would hear. Do you know what I'm saying?
If you were going to make something up, that's not something you'd make up.
We would always talk on Love Lines about the specifics.
Yeah.
And the specifics that didn't feed any narrative.
Right.
There wasn't really...
like something about the color of some curtain or how it was hanging or something. You just wouldn't be... if somebody were trying to fabricate something or even if it was a memory that was false, you wouldn't have those kinds of specific things in it if it was strictly false.
Right. Yeah. So I definitely... the part where she says, I'm wearing my one-piece swimsuit and I'm wearing it under my clothes,
yeah,
and I went to diving practice, and then I walked over to this house, and I'm on the bed, and he's on top of me, and I can hear him laughing, and the friend's laughing, and they're drunk, and the friend's jumping on the bed. I'm down with that. It's very specific.
Yeah.
It makes perfect sense.
It also is the kind of screwball stuff that 16, 17-year-old boys do. It wasn't some outlying behavior.
Well, yes, this is a good point to talk about, which is the stuff that is labeled a sexual assault, a sexual attack, was labeled screwball stuff
at that time.
Teenage guys did.
Especially at that time. Especially at that time. And yes, and then the guy jumping on the bed, that's a screwball move. That's not a rapist move. That's a screwball move. He knocks everybody off the bed. It's like knocking bowling pins off. Drunk dude, 17.
Right. The thing that's funny is I met a friend of mine. The first – so I don't think they have a real clear – view of the adolescent male mind.
They don't.
Our society basically is in denial.
Well, they were back then, especially too, because they were encouraging the males to behave in a way. Well, they were encouraging adult males to behave in a certain way, and not understanding that adolescent and young adult males would just pick it up the same.
Yeah, they don't have a clear understanding of the sexual nature, mm-hmm, of the 17-year-old males, and they don't have an understanding of the consequences, invincibility, the things we used to do mostly to one another.
Yeah.
And understand what guys do to other guys, what guys are capable of doing to girls, what they're capable of doing to themselves. I mean, they have no, we don't, it, we fear it. And sort of ignore it in a weird way.
Well,
it's an uncomfortable subject.
Yes, and I think you folded a few things into it. I mean, you lived in a world where the rough and tumble play went to crazy degrees. You know, you, Chris, and Ray in North
Hollywood.
Draconian rough and tumble play. It became literally flinging shit at each other. Literally flinging feces at each other.
Well, not. Literally.
Literally. And urinating on each other. And that's where it went. That's where the male adolescent goes.
But I mean, the stuff we did to one another and others, I mean, we take guys in the middle of the girls' softball field and strip them naked.
Yeah.
Strip them naked, and then they had to run around the schoolyard just naked, just like after, just literally pants under. It wasn't like, oh, here's a towel.
There was no physical punishment also, like hitting with wiffle bats or throwing footballs at them. Or
if you would like to be physically stripped during school hours on school grounds,
as was the custom, as you were normally asked, your friends were asking that.
There will be a certain amount of physical punishment involved with it because you're attempting to stop these people, and that's where the punishment begins. We routinely, by the way, all this stuff, you put it down on paper now, and it looks like not only expulsion, it looks like prison time.
Listen, when I think about Ray and his jacuzzi enemas and then what he would do with the products, it was directed towards women.
Well, or anybody. It was closest. But look, here's the deal. At the school, one of the favorite things Ray would do, and others, you'd get pantsed. There was a thing called pantsing somebody. And so what happened is you'd be standing there during the summer and you're wearing your shorts and you're talking to the girls and it's during lunch and you just come up behind you and just pants down to the ankles, yeah, and you're just sitting there with your dick hanging out. And there'd be two victims now. There'd be all the girls on the bench who were sitting there looking at your dick. And then there'd be the guy who exploded. There'd be a victim and the victimizer. And then there'd be a third, the victimizer, which would be whoever pants them. But that, okay. That stuff was routine.
Every day.
As much as we could do it. And in terms of being like physically roughed up, the hardest I ever fought was when I was naked and Chris and Ray dragged me out of my garage. I was living in the garage at my house, and it was right after school let out, and I live right next door to school, and so everyone was just pouring out onto my street, and I was completely naked. And those guys made it their business to get me nude and out into the street. And those guys were both bigger and stronger than me, and they didn't give it a half-hearted attempt and then, you know, sort of pitch it in and just said, forget it. No, no, they went hard.
It's coming.
And I went harder because I had no choice.
Yeah.
I fought. I'm guessing
you ended up in the street.
No, because I am actually insanely strong at grappling. I'm a very strong grappler, always have been. And even though these guys were specimens and extremely strong,
the crazy thing
about, got me halfway down my driveway naked.
And the crazy thing about stuff like that is that in spite of the extreme violence that's required to grapple at this level, punch is never thrown.
No, not really. You don't need a punch.
I'm just saying. Yeah, you would never think of it. You never think of throwing a punch.
No, but there was, you'd get elbowed in the face.
Accidentally.
Yeah, right. So we did a lot of that. That's all we did.
Yeah.
And the first time I ever met Donnie was going outside of a party, and we, Ray and Chris and some other guys, realized that somebody was in a car.
Oh, yeah.
Like making out with their girlfriend or something. I don't think you even know this one. But
you bounce the car up until
maybe you do. I haven't told in a while. We got on the bumper. We started jumping up and down on the bumper. That's why I was thinking of Kavanaugh's buddy.
Listen.
I was picturing.
Yeah.
So this guy's in there trying to make time, and we're all on the bumper jumping up and down on the car, and that reminded me of him jumping on the bed.
I am telling you. It's why, because I do understand male adolescent behavior so acutely, and again, we dealt with it so many years at Loveline, it's why I started looking at primates. Because if you want to understand young adolescent males, just look at young adolescent chimpanzees. Just look at them, watch them.
Okay,
it's the same stuff.
In the bathing suit, makes sense to me. Clothes over the bathing suit, makes sense to me. Went to the house. Guys had already been drinking beer. Makes sense to me. Bedroom, jumping up and down on the bed.
Didn't quite understand the transition of the bedroom, what that was all about, how that happened, why that happened. That's a little unusual, but who knows? Goofing around.
Mm-hmm. The part where they locked the door was kind of a little weird because it's like, but then you just took off. So, you know, I don't know if it's to keep people from coming in or to keep you from getting out.
Keep people from coming in. Of course, you can get out if the door's locked.
Well, no, I'm sorry for sounding stupid. I just mean you can unlock the door. I don't know if there's the lock on the door part feels a little.
They didn't want somebody coming in.
Right. But that is a part of the story that makes it. Now, some of this is how she felt.
Right. You know, let's say that so far was an accurate depiction. Put yourself as a 17-year-old male in that situation. What would you probably be planning to do? It's upstairs. Come to my sister's room. It's all open. What are the kinds of things that usually two adolescent male with a female peer, what are they kind of thinking about doing usually back then?
Well, hold on. Because if you're alone, I think you have some –
but it's
contact
three.
And sex it's or three. Something on your
it's
mind.
Three. It's three.
If there's three, I think I don't know. Well, let's put it to you. I'll put it to you this way.
I think I know what the custom back then was. They're going to smoke pot.
Oh, you mean when somebody leaves?
When somebody leaves and goes into a room and locks the door and it's three and two and one or whatever, they're going to smoke pot.
I mean, okay.
That's what they were doing back then. Right?
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. So maybe that was the pretext, and maybe she forgot that or whatever, or who the hell knows. But and certainly he wouldn't want to bring that up.
Well, that's interesting. Yeah. Let's go over here and smoke pot.
And it's Mark Judge, poly drug addict, whatever, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, and maybe Mark wasn't – Mark Kavanaugh may not have been the one that was interested or whatever his name is. Kavanaugh wasn't the one interested in the pot. Maybe he was interested in her. Who knows? We don't know.
Poly drug addict, worst name of a private school ever. And I would never send my kid to that school.
Pushing for that name.
All right. So now he's on top of her. I believe that. But I'm trying to picture the friend. See, to me, the part that takes the story a slightly different direction and always has is the friend. No, no. Oh, that I got.
Yeah.
The friend jumping on the bed.
Yeah.
See, that takes it out of the realm of attempted rape to me because there's another guy in the room jumping up and down and screwing around.
I even heard Bill Maher say that. He was like, what, this guy's jumping on the bed? That's what screwballs do at 17.
Right. The covering of the mouth, and I get why she's panicked by it and feels that way.
But maybe they were smoking pot or doing drugs or something. Like, quiet, don't tell me. I don't want anybody to hear I'm here. My sister's in the next room. Whatever. Who the hell knows?
No, it is I believe she was saying something or she was alerting people or she was doing whatever and the cover of the mouth. But again, and then the hysterical laughter. Again, if you ever see kids going at it, they do that all the time.
Yeah.
I don't have that is she's screaming she's being raped and he's trying to stifle her.
I didn't interpret that way.
No. But now the friend's drunk, he's drunk, he jumps on the bed, they're goofing. I don't think there's some sort of rape mission because, look, guys are horny and 17-year-old guys are horny and 17-year-old guys want to take advantage of 15-year-old girls all the time and they cross the line all the time. But the friend in the room jumping up and down is not usually part of the equation for that, right?
No, not at all.
So then she takes off.
Right.
She has been triggered.
Right.
They have not been triggered because they're taking an event and they're experiencing the event in probably two different ways.
Correct.
They're thinking of it as, we're drunk, we're fucking around, I'm fucking with my buddy. Maybe my buddy was trying
make out or something,
trying to get with her, but I showed up and now I'm screwing with him. And we've all had sort of buddy versions of this, me jumping down on the bumper of the car, him jumping down on the bed. Then they fell off the bed, which sounds like they were drunk and sort of didn't care either, and she left. I don't think there was a ripping at her clothes while she went for the door kind of move. And then when she was triggered by this.
Right.
Now,
so that means?
That means in our Loveline experience that she'd been victimized.
Prior.
Or made to felt like a victim before this. Prior to it.
Probably to be triggered by something like that, probably seriously like some sort of sexual abuse in childhood.
I don't know any of her backstory.
I don't either. But I'm just basing on the degrees to which she was triggered by an event like this.
Yes. So she was triggered, and it seared into her memory.
Something. And again, when people are triggered that severely who have a history of sexual abuse, there are going to be lots of distortions. Even though everything she said makes sense, there could still be distortions of all kinds.
Well, we don't know. Here's what we know. Not about this, but I mean in life. My wife doesn't know what I said. She knows how what I said made her feel. She always knows how something made her feel. But she doesn't know all the events or all that was said. She relies on how she felt. Mm-hmm. She felt angry.
It's a kind of memory. It's an accurate kind of memory.
She felt threatened. She felt... all the years we did Loveline, you'd bring up a band's name, and I'd either go... Oh, you know, you bring up the band Lit, and I'd go, I don't remember any of those guys, but I remember them. I mean, good
being
guys.
Nice,
good
yeah,
guys.
Never, and you bring good up, feeling. Yeah.
And you bring up Chumbawamba, and I'd go, no, or Blur, or whatever. It wasn't anything specific. It was just good or bad.
Yeah. And so, then, by the way, that's the initial blush. Then sometimes you can also come up with some specifics.
Yeah.
Then we'd go, the anarchist Chumbawamba. Oh, yeah, right. The air traffic control. Okay.
Chumbawamba. So she was triggered. I don't know. Like, I'm not going to claim that I know whether she had prior sexual abuse. I will say that you're dealing with somebody
easily triggered,
who had a very delicate wiring and was easily triggered.
Fair enough.
And so she was triggered.
Yeah.
And the boys, it didn't go down in their memory as anything because in their mind, it was a fender bender where...
No, it was not even a fender
bender. Yeah. I want to be clear. I'm saying, in their mind, it was like they tapped the car in front of them and then just kept driving off. And the other person's mind was a head-on collision with a fiery wreck.
Yep.
So you don't... There were separate events and they went down accordingly.
Yep.
Now, when she left and has no memory of getting home, I believe that if she was triggered.
Yep.
If she was in fight or flight.
No matter what, it's not the relevant part that the memory is going to be revivifying, right? It's because when you get traumatized, your body literally becomes the source of reliving the memory over and over again. Mm-hmm. It's like you're constantly in that state of trigger.
Right.
And the body remembers, and then there's certain degrees of screen memories that you have of the events.
All right. I'm going to bring this home in a moment. So far, we're pretty simpatico on this. But we'll wrap it up.
I want to know what Gergo's disagreed about.
I'll tell you. Right. First, I'll tell you about MedMen. Today's cannabis world. Consumers, say you and the friends want to go in the room and burn a little tree, man. MedMen, you're an executive producer, you're a parent, you're a customer. That's what you are at MedMen. Or you're an executive, doesn't matter. Something for everyone, whether you're new to the cannabis world or familiar with it. Flower, lotions, edibles, vape pens, bath bombs, and more. Touch screens that allow you to view in-depth product info and red-shirted staff and incredibly knowledgeable puts you at ease. Check out one of the 14 retail locations, L.A., Orange County, San Diego. Now open the new store on the Vegas Strip, Paradise and Harmon. Visit MedMen.com. That's MedMen.com. Find the store nearest you, right, Dawson?
And for our listeners, visit any MedMen and mention Adam Carolla for $10 off your order. Keep out of reach of children for use only by adults 21 years of age and older. Check out MedMen today.
So she's triggered. It's seared into her memory. These guys were drunk. And it just seems like one more screwball high school hijinks, whatever, to them. And as I think back on my own life, I do have all these moments of these stories and these things, but I realize I've repeated the stories on air and in books and all that kind of stuff. And there's probably a whole shitload of other ones I have no memory of whatsoever.
Has to be 1,000.
And I'm sure there are people around me that were terrified or horrified when, and both feared for their life when this stuff was going down and it didn't count, didn't go down in my brain. So I believe her.
Yep.
I believe that she had a version or an exact version of this experience.
But I think that's an important point. It's one or the other. We can't tell which, but we can accept both. It's either an exact version or some version.
And I believe she felt in jeopardy.
Yep.
Now, where Mark Gergis disagreed with me is I said, well, I bet when this was put to Kavanaugh, he probably thought, as I would have thought back in those days, especially if he's had a few beers, he probably would have thought, I recall something like this, or it could have been something, it sounds like something I would have done.
Yes.
It sounds like, I've had that happen a million times where my wife or someone has said, you said this or that. And I said, I don't recall that, but it certainly sounds like me then.
Yeah.
Or when I was drunk or whatever it was. Okay. So I believe he thought about that. I don't think it was something he gave himself some plausible deniability. Like he could go, he's not going to verbalize it, but he's going to, I don't remember that. And he probably
doesn't specifically. Doesn't specifically remember that.
Probably, no.
Probably doesn't.
But if you said to him, let's flip the script if you don't remember anything about this, you're not going to Supreme Court. If you can piece together little bits and pieces of this, we'll put you on the Supreme Court. So, do you think he would have cobbled together some recollections?
I think he would have said exactly what you said. It's like, well, it sounds like something I might have done. I have no specific recollection. But But the idea of,
you're not thinking about what I'm saying.
No, I do.
Enough.
I do. He might have actually had a memory then. And let me finish.
Maybe he would say he had a memory.
Let me preface that motivation does affect our ability to how we retrieve memories.
Oh yeah,
yeah. And so you're right. The thought experiment you're doing is accurate. I would say.
I would go as far as to say that if you said Judge Kavanaugh. We're going the other direction. If you can remember bits and pieces of this, then you will be brought on to the Supreme Court. He'd probably go, oh, yeah, and a couple beers. Where Tammy's house? yeah, I remember some wet, but bathing suit or something. Right. Yeah, a couple little bits and pieces. Yeah, but Jackoff is jumping on the bed. I bet you would coax that out of him. But
that's the way memory works.
And the way
you can implant memories in people by giving them right motivation.
The way Garrigus works. And where we sort of differed is I said, once Kavanaugh knew they were going back to high school yearbooks and hijinks from high school or any whatever you want to label this, but if we're going to dip back into high school, then I get to just deny anything I want because you went, this was supposed to be Marquis of Queensberry. And what you just did is you bitch slapped me while I was looking the other way. And if you're going to go there, then I get to fight back any way I want. And I think he decided if you're going to go back to high school and have me try to describe something that I didn't know was something and it'll never work. Not in this society, not in this time, not in this climate. Then there is no version. See, with all other accusations in life, you know what I mean? If I said, hey, man, I was looking at my video monitor neighbor, and I saw you came over and looked like you took a potted plant from my front yard. In that scenario, I get to go, yeah, it looked like it needed some watering, and my wife's an arborist, and we're just going to nurse it back to health, and I was going to bring it back. And you go, well, that sounds pretty dicey to me. And I go, no, really, I was. She's an arborist. And then you go, whatever. But in this arena, the answer is, I've never been on your property. I don't know what you're talking about. And you go, I remember seeing, I looked out the window. I saw you taking the pot. That wasn't me. I don't know what you're talking about. That's where we're at with the Me Too stuff and the whatever. There is no version where he goes, okay, now let me tell you my version of the story.
You said something stronger on our show.
Oh, what was it?
You said, if you were testifying to the Nazis, would you lie?
Yeah. Well, I don't like, no. What I'm saying is I don't like I don't like when people trot out the Nazis. What I'm saying is if your great escape trying to get into Switzerland or something, and somebody pulled you over and put a flashlight and went over your paperwork was, you would gladly lie and gladly hand them this stuff willingly. And I believe the Kavanaugh had some idea about this event. I also believe that he knew exactly what was happening to him. They were going to put the scarlet letter on him and run him out of town. And he just said, well, if that's the choice... There's only an A and a B. There's nothing in between. There's no dimmer switch here. It's just, if you open your mouth and say, I was there, I remember that night, but I remember it in a different way, now you're gone. And he went, I was never there, and I don't know what she's talking about. Because that is the only option in this new world order we're living in. Mm. Yes?
I've been wrestling with that since you said it on A&E.
I think he then lied under oath, but not, you know, again, if you're going to go back 36 years, it's tough. And where Garrigus and I disagreed is he said, well, then he shouldn't be a Supreme Court. You know, if you're going to lie under oath, and I just sort of stuck by my, well, if you think the other party is playing dirty pool and not by the rules and dipping back to high school, then you get to retaliate any way you want.
Or he wasn't there.
Or he wasn't there.
There's always that.
There is always that. My feeling, big picture, was whether if he wasn't there, then he wasn't there. If he was there, it was him and his drunken buddy playing some jack-off game, jumping on a bed and stuff like that.
Or some couple kids doing that, you know, whoever it was.
Well, let's say it was them, whatever. Yeah. Which we should not support or condone, but it doesn't make you a rapist.
Right. And back then, the behavior was highly reinforced, highly encouraged. It was considered the, you know, sort of, you would be...
Every song was about doing that. Yes. Forget about sitcoms. All right.
But him not being there, I just want to make one point, is that I just have grave concerns. Listen, as we've broken down, we believe Dr. Ford and what happened to her. But in a universe where accusation functions as fact, accusation equals fact, period, just look at history. Please look at history. It goes back to Florence in the 1500s. It goes to the Second World War. It goes to Stalin. It goes to Salem, Massachusetts. It goes to McCarthy. There's times in history where accusations have been considered fact, and it has been a freaking catastrophe for society whenever that has happened. So we have to back away from that. We have to.
I agree.
And the way you do that is with process. And the process may be imperfect, and it may get it wrong. But you can't have purely accusation stand as fact. You can believe the people making the accusation, but the consequence of the accusation cannot have the same impact as fact in any sort of legal or social adjudication.
I agree, because it's the rudder that steers the ship of society, and we can't have it bust off.
That's it. We're done if the rule of law goes away, because that's what that is. And I feel horrible for people that were victimized, that can't find the evidence and would like to be – feel like they're not being believed, even though people go, no, honey, we believe you. It just isn't enough evidence. That's got to be a horrible, horrible thing. But we have to accept a certain amount of that in order for us to have a civil society, in order for it to function.
Agreed. All right. If you want to hear me and Dr. Drew weekdays on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One, you can listen to more of that very interesting conversation with Dr. Drew and beyond.
Every day.
Every day. And we now return to the great Dean Cain.
Spend Tuesdays with Dr. Drew.
Hey, let's suggest you listen to the Dr. Drew podcast. It comes out every Tuesday, and it is my chance to, I love doing it. It's my chance to really dig into people and find out what makes them tick, what's going on. It's a long form where we can get into material and topics that I just can't get into anywhere else. And it's a privilege to be able to spend that time really getting in deep. So please join me on the Dr. Drew podcast.
The Dr. Drew podcast, every Tuesday on Corolla Digital and Podcast One.